So I am going to ramble about the only thing that I know a lot about, which is drugs. I'm sorry if it's really boring. It is kind of a boring subject, but it's kind of cool if you ignore all of the obvious, pitfalls of, well, anyways. Okay, so here's some cool facts about pharmacy. There's a drug called Glybera. It's a gene therapy drug. I think the generic is Eliquis Tiparbuvec. So what it does is basically it's a compensation drug for a lipoprotein lipase deficiency. It's a really, really uncommon inherited problem that can make people have repeated bouts of pancreatitis. And it sucks to have pancreatitis. If any of y'all have ever had it, it's very unpleasant. It's painful and it's expensive. But this particular lipase, if you're deficient in it, you constantly have pancreatitis constantly. So there isn't a whole lot of gene therapy drug research going on right now because it's very, very high risk. Even in studies after everybody's gone through the pre-approval fact and they're in the post-trial studies, subjects have still died. So it's very high risk. It's a very dangerous medication. It's very riddled with danger. So you don't see a whole lot of gene therapy drugs coming out on the reg. But this one came out in like 2012, I think, and it was a huge deal because when Glybera came out, all these people that were having horrendous pancreatitis for their whole lives were actually able to take something that was going to help them a little bit. And it wasn't something that was going to help the symptoms, it was actually going to alter their gene structure. So, the only bad thing about this is that Eliquis Tiparbuvec is extremely expensive to produce and extremely expensive to dispense. And it's an intravenous medication, so you would have to be in a setting where you were able to have probably a PICC line or a central line or something to. So that is going to compound things. That's going to be a hospital visit. But even if that was not even a problem, Eliquis Tiparbuvec is about $2 million. To treat one treatment is $2 million. When it came out, anyways, I think it's probably dropped down to about a million now, million US dollars. Still extremely expensive. Thankfully, the disorder that it treats is very, very rare, so it's not used very often. But when it is, people are gonna drop a whole shitload of money. So. That's a cool fact. What else? Marijuana. Marijuana is the most commonly abused drug besides alcohol. I'm sure y'all know that. I don't know if y'all know this. It's a scheduled drug. It's used in certain preparations to treat certain disorders in very, very controlled settings. Hopefully, less controlled settings soon in the United States. It's in the same classification as cocaine, heroin, certain inhalants, LSD, methamphetamine, PCP, anabolic steroids, that kind of thing. And oh, what else? Cocaine. Cocaine. Cocaine is an analgesic, actually. It's used topically and sometimes used intravenously. I've compounded a few times some medications for horses that contained cocaine, because horses are giant, huge creatures, and you can't give them Tylenol because it doesn't fucking work, and it's toxic to them, as well as dogs. By the way, dog owners, take note. But anyways, so cocaine, benzylmethylglycinine, Schedule 8 is what they call it, Schedule 8 drug. So basically, Schedule 8 means that it's dangerous, and it's a worldwide kind of thing. I'm sure every country has something separate. Schedule 8's like Xanax, amphetamines, Suboxone, GHB, Dilaudid, morphine. Right now, there's an ongoing argument about whether or not we should use cocaine and phenylephrine together in an ophthalmic preparation to test for Parkinson's. So what you could do is you can combine these two drugs, use it in an eye drop, and we would be able to test and see if a patient was positive for Parkinson's before symptoms actually presented. So, if the United States would get off of their high horse, maybe one day we'll be able to do that. Schedule 9 drugs, that's a next step up. Those are research drugs. You cannot ethically distribute them ever, anywhere. You can't even research with them, really. The trials for humans are so controlled, and so there's so many barriers before you're actually able to use the drugs on humans that it's basically impossible. But there's a lot of very promising drugs that are interesting and hopefully will benefit the human race at some point. DMT, Schedule 1 drug. DMT is... DMT is interesting. There's this one common hallucination that everybody that has ever taken DMT, or not everybody, obviously, but everybody that's reported on it, I suppose, has seen collectively. It's been like a humanoid figure. They call them machine elves. So that's kind of cool. Mescaline, MDMA, magic mushroom, psilocybin, those are all Schedule 1 too. Right now, there's a study going on in Canada to determine whether or not psilocybin has therapeutic effects in cyclical administration for depression and anxiety. I personally am very excited. I hope that something comes of that. What else? How about some humbling facts? 100,000 people end up in the ER from ODing on acetaminophen every year in the United States. It's one of the most common overdose drugs, and it's over the counter. It's also available in conjunction with hydrocodone in the form of Vicodin. The reason that manufacturers originally put acetaminophen and Vicodin is that they wanted to limit the abuse potential. But what they did instead was they did limit the abuse potential, of course, sort of. If you do abuse it and you aren't aware of what will happen, you can shut your liver down. So if you take too much of the acetaminophen trying to get to a certain point of hydrocodone, you are going to have serious problems. I used to work in a rehab facility, and one of my duties was to monitor inpatients' daily acetaminophen intake from all sources, and it was unbelievable how much these people were getting, like just gargantuan amounts. of acetaminophen. So doctors are very, very prone to giving a lot. There's a medication called hyoscyamine that's used for motion sickness and post-operation nausea. It can have effects similar to LSD if you give too much, and it's very easy to overdose on it because it's very readily available, and it's able to cross the blood-brain barrier with no trouble. NASA is currently using it for astronauts who get sick in space. It's one of the only medications that they are able to take in space that doesn't cause other side effects, because it's a patch that you put behind your ear, like it's a transdermal patch. Okay, finally, my favorite one. There is a condition called pseudobulbar effect. So basically what it means is that you are emotionally incontinent. So you don't have control over what you feel and why. It happens a lot with brain injury or trauma, sometimes with accidents. Somebody gets hit in the head just the right way, or post-surgery. So like, for instance, you're looking at an orange and you suddenly feel inexplicably sad and you just start to cry. And that's what happens to these people. They just cry. They just start to cry uncontrollably, or they start to laugh like they're, you know, at a funeral and they start to laugh uncontrollably. It's really strange. And there's a combination drug that's used solely for that symptom. And it's called Nudexta. It's a combination of dextromethorphan and quinidine. And quinidine is a drug for atrial fibrillation. It's an antiarrhythmic. Dextromethorphan is it's a cough medication, like a over-the-counter cough med, Robitussin. And the two of them together combine, and they tend to soothe the symptoms for reasons that are not completely understood. So, yeah, anyways, that's my super, super nerdy, boring rant. I hope you liked it.